bulletin. I've given you something. I'm trying to give you something each week that you can compile and save together so that when you study the book of Revelation, you'll have something to look back on. And I've given you, you don't have to write anything if you don't want to, but if you want to, there's some things that you can write. There are a lot of scriptures that I'm going to go into today. There's a lot of information that I pray will bring you inspiration today. And maybe we can, by learning something about what we're going to talk about today, we'll help you understand some of the things that you read in Scripture, not only in the book of Revelation, but all through the Bible. Because we're going to talk about something that's very, I feel very interesting and very fascinating. So, Father, we thank you that we have the privilege to do this one more time. We ask you, Lord, to bless the hearing of your word. And we're trying to understand that you said even heaven and earth are going to pass away. I don't know how that's going to happen, but you said it. And you said your word will never pass away. So we know that will happen also. So help us to understand this portion of Scripture and all these Scriptures that tie together the teaching of your word. Lord, let us feed the sheep and feed the flock that is before us, God, because that is what our calling is, that we can rightly divide the word of truth, giving Jesus all praise and all glory, for we ask it in his name. And everyone said amen. We are going to talk about something today, a subject that I believe is extremely interesting and fascinating, one that we deal with every day of our lives, but we rarely think about it. And that's the subject of numbers. Numbers. Numbers really are essential to our everyday living, and I feel we really could not get along without them. For example, numbers tell us how old we are. Numbers tell us how much we weigh, which cause us to lie a lot. Is that the truth? Numbers tell us whether or not our blood pressure is normal. Numbers tell us financially how rich we are or how poor we are. You know, if you're like me, you say, well, what do you mean I have no more money in the bank? I got all these checks left. That's how I balance my checkbook. I still got checks left. I had no money in the bank. Numbers tell us what day it is. Numbers tell us what time it is. So when you stop to think about it, life would be really chaotic if it didn't have a system of numbers woven into the everyday, what we call the everyday fabric of our lives. Now, immediately in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, we see that numbers is going to play a very significant role. In chapter 1, verse 4, John is speaking to seven churches, and he refers to the seven spirits. Verse 20, he sees seven stars, seven golden lampstands in seven churches. Now, as you're going to see, the number seven is one of the key numbers in all of the Bible, especially a key number in the book of Revelation. In fact, the book of Revelation can be divided into seven sections, and each of these sections can be divided into seven subsections. That's what I gave you in your notes. In chapters 1 through 3, you have seven churches. Chapters 4 through 7, you have seven seals. Chapters 8 through 11, you have seven trumpets. Chapters 12 through 14, you have seven persons. 15 through 16, you have seven bowls. 17 through 20, there are seven judgments. 21 and 22, there are seven things that are new. The book of Revelation, the revelation is in seven groups of seven. Now, that is not by just blind chance. That is rather by divine choice. You cannot properly understand the book of the Revelation, much of any prophetic writing in the Bible, unless you understand the meaning and the use of numbers. So we're going to look at this for a bit today. Is that all right? Number one, what about the practical science of numbers? The practical science of numbers. God has written two books. He has written a word book, which we call the Bible, but he's also written a world book, which we'll call nature. Now, numbers are an integral part of both of these books. In fact, God even named one book of the Bible Numbers, almost to remind us of the importance of numbers in the personal revelation. So God has written also his world book, so that it too runs by numbers. And as you study this world book, you'll find that that numbers are in every chapter of this world book. For example, the world of astronomy. The world of astronomy, the study of the stars and the planets, can be reduced to a simple mathematics. The astronomers can study the position of the stars and the planet, and knowing that these stars are running according to a certain mathematical precision, they can chart exactly where these planets were 1,000 years ago and where these planets and stars are going to be going 1,000 years from now by a simple mathematical situation, a mathematical precision formula. In fact, we know that it was through the use of mathematics and astronomy that allowed us to land a man on the moon. It had to do with the mathematical formulas. So numbers are an example in astronomy. Numbers are also the foundation of chemistry. Chemistry really is the science of mathematics taken to a higher level. If you've ever studied anything chemistry, I studied chemistry and failed when I was in school. I didn't like chemistry. I don't like math, but I like this. But if you've ever taken it, you know how much chemistry has is balancing mathematical equations. I think some of our students here would verify that. There are college students, but they found in these charts of the chemists that have a certain what they call atomic weights, and these weights tell us the ability of one element to combine with another element. But this is all according to numbers and mathematics. Mathematics play a foundational role in biology. In botany, you'll find that plants follow mathematical laws. Every plant, every flower will have a certain number of petals in a certain specific arrangement, and in one sense, numbers make one plant different from another. The same thing in what's called zoology. Every living creature on earth has billions and maybe trillions of cells, and each cell has a certain number of chromosomes according to what kind of creature it is. For example, man has 46 chromosomes. And when we do premarital counseling, when we tell couples, young couples, that the Bible says the two shall become one flesh. Well, how is that possible? The two becoming one is only possible in their offspring. Because man has 46 chromosomes, and in order to make a child, a baby, you have to have 23 chromosomes from the man, 23 chromosomes from the woman, to make 46 chromosomes, which would be one human being. So when they tell me, when they say, well, you know, you have an argument, and you say, well, straighten your kid out. Well, he's not just your kid, he's her kid too. Because 23 chromosomes belong to you, and 23 chromosomes belong to you. So you can't say, well, it's your kid, straight. No, it's both, all right? So man has 46 chromosomes, while a little old housefly only has 4 chromosomes. So the only difference between you and a housefly is 42 chromosomes. How's that? All right? But the point to remember is that mathematics, a creation of God, is built into the very foundation of the entire universe. Amen? Now, there are some people who are very intimidated by numbers and by mathematics. And I was one of those people. I don't like numbers in that. That's why I don't deal with anything but money or numbers in the church. I leave that to the board and let them do their thing. But, you know, people are intimidated by numbers. For example, there was a little boy, little Johnny, who was troubled with mathematics, with his math lesson. So the teacher thought that she would give him a little sample to help him with his math. And she said to him, now, Johnny, if you had $10 in one pocket and $4 in the other pocket, what would you have? He said, I would have on somebody else's pants. That's what he said, right? But I don't be intimidated by the use of numbers in scriptures. Numbers in the Bible is not for intimidation. It is for inspiration and it's for information. All right, and that's what they're there for, and that's what we're going to see. So let's get into number two, the providential symbolism of numbers, or the divine foresight of numbers, the intervention of numbers. All right, just Just as numbers are an integral part in the world book, you need to see that numbers play a very important role in God's word book, the Bible. In fact, it's fascinating. It's fascinating confirmation of the divine inspiration of the Word of God to see how numbers unite together the truth of God's Word, united together by numbers. God never uses numbers in some kind of an erratic way, some arbitrary fashion, because behind the key in the Word of God is the basic meaning that is the basic meaning of these numbers is derived from the very heart and the very mind of God. And we're going to see some of these key numbers and see how they make the Word of God come alive and unite the truth of God, of all of God, in the revelation of God itself, okay? Let's go through the, I'm going to fly through these things. So fasten your seatbelt and get your pens ready to go. Number one. The number one is the number of unity, the number of primacy, primary, preeminence, or the most important. Number one is a cardinal number. It is not made up of any other numbers, and it is the source of all numbers. It is the symbol of God. The first great cause of everything, who is independent from everything, and he is the source. We always say that. God is the source of everything. We've read this scripture to you 100 times, Deuteronomy 6:8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Again, the prophet Zechariah, I'm going to fly through these scriptures. There's so many, I couldn't do it to Ron again. Zechariah 14:9 tells us the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. We understand from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, there is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. And in you all from South Carolina. So number one, the number one symbolizes unity. There is one God in three persons. We're going to learn this more. He's a triunity or a trinity. And this explains what Jesus meant when he prayed for us. In John 17, Jesus prayed, Father, that they may be one just as we are one. Now, there are three persons to the Godhead, but one God. There are many people in this fellowship, in this church, but we are to be as one. When we prayed together this morning, we prayed as one body, all right? I don't know if you knew this or not. The motto of the United States of America is a Latin phrase, E pluribus unum, which means, no, it means out of many, one. See, one is the number of unity, the number of God. Amen? Number two is the number of witness or the number of confirmation. Jesus said in John 8:17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. In the Old Testament, capital punishment could not be applied to a guilty party unless the crime had been witnessed by at least two people. Deuteronomy 17:6 tells us that. When we have a meeting, whether it's a board meeting or a congregational meeting, we hold a meeting what's called under parliamentary procedure. And what that means is someone else will stand up and make a motion. I make a motion to do this and this and that. And someone else will stand up and say, I second the motion. What is he doing? He's witnessing. He's confirming to the motion of the first person, okay? The Bible is divided into two testaments. The second testament, which is the New Testament, witnesses to the truth and confirms the revelation of the Old Testament. Okay? The second person in the Trinity is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, he is called the faithful witness. The Lord Jesus was the witness and the confirmation of God the Father. Amen? In Luke chapter 24, verse 4, there were two angels at the empty tomb to testify that Jesus was raised from the dead. In Acts chapter 1, verse 10, there were two angels who witnessed the ascension of Jesus and the second coming of Christ. Two of them. In Revelation 11, 3, God sends two witnesses who will preach for 3 years in the great tribulation. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, we read that Jesus sent out the 12 and he sent them out two by two. In Revelation 13, we read that there are two beasts, each one confirming the other in absolute evil and absolute rebellion against God. So you got the number two in your head now? Let's move on. Number three. The number three is the number of divinity, the number of Trinity, the number of a triunity. In Matthew 28, 19, we're commanded to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are to baptize people into the body of God. But this God is found in three persons. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, we read that scripture to you last week, and in that great doxology that Isaiah cried out, he cried out, we sang it today. I'm so glad you sang that. He cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Three times. Why? God is a triune God of holiness. Holy is God the Father. Holy is God the Son. And holy is God the Holy Spirit. Amen? This Trinity is found in all of, this triunity is found in all of God's creation. Man, when he was created in the image of God, just as God is a triune being, so is man a triune being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us that man is body, soul, and spirit. All of God's physical creations can be summed up in time and space. Time is past, present, and future. Space is height, width, and depth. Man may sin in one of three ways, by thought, by word, or by deed. The Lord Jesus Christ has three offices, prophet, priest, and king. He was raised from the dead on the third day, and his resurrection power enables us to defeat our greatest enemy, our three greatest enemies. What are our three greatest enemies? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And we can defeat those great enemies because of the resurrection in 3 days. You got number three? Number four. Number four is the number of earth. The number of earth. It's a number, it's a world, it's the world number. It's the number of God's creation. Isaiah 11, 12 says, he will set up a banner for the nations and he will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Four is the earth number. It refers to the four points on a compass, north, south, east, and west. Ezekiel in 7 chapter, 2nd verse, he says, And son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, the end has come upon the four corners of the land. In Revelation chapter 7, after these things, he said, John said, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. In Revelation chapter 20, we're told how Satan will be released from prison after a 1,000-year reign of Christ, which I do not understand why. I know why, but I just don't understand it. I don't want to understand it. But he said he will go out to the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. You want to know why Satan's going to be released after 1,000 years? Anybody know why? Because people are going to be born during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, even in a perfect environment. When Christ is reigning for 1,000 years, people are going to be born. And God says, you know what? The people that are going to be born are still going to have to receive me by faith. And they're going to have to choose. And Satan's going to go around the world tempting these people that are born during that time. And the ones that receive Christ are going to be saved. Amen. That's why. I would never release that dude. I just wouldn't. But that's, I'm not God. All right. So you see that four is the earth's number. There are four divisions to the day. We have morning, noon, evening, and night. There's four seasons: spring, summer, fall, and winter. There are four world empires in Scripture: Babylonian, the Grecian, the Persian, and Rome. There's, how many gospels are there? There's four gospels that give us a story of the earthly life of Jesus. Now, with that in mind, we begin to understand the symbolic, the symbolism of in Scripture of the word of the number four. In Revelation 4:6, we read that the throne of God was surrounded by four living creatures who were continuously praising God. Right? Now, we understand that this verse really is it tells us that it's not just that there were one, two, three, four creatures worshiping God, but the four. The word four symbolizes here that all of God's creation, all of God's world, all of his world, because that's what the number four represents, is kneeling before him and giving him all the praise which he alone richly deserves. That's why Revelation 6, when we get there, there are four horsemen of the apocalypse, because that sums up the destructive powers of this world, which is at war. All right? Now, just as four is a symbol of this world, multiples of four deal with earthly testings and trials to come upon the world. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus said, and the number 40 is just a multiple, it's 4 times 10. 4 times 10 is 40, is a symbol of earthly trials and earthly testing. We know that Noah was in the ark while it rained on the earth. How long? 40 days and 40 nights. When Moses went up to the mountain, Mount Sinai, to get the Ten Commandments, he was there how long? 40 days, 40 nights. When Jonah preached to Nineveh and warned them that they had 40 days or Nineveh would be destroyed. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil out in the wilderness, he fasted for how long? For 40 days. And 40 nights. Amen? Number four, or the multiple of four. Now, I'm telling you all this and trying to give you this background so that when you read, there are some numbers that you're going to read in Scripture that you will take literally, and there's other numbers that you will take symbolically. And it's very easy to rightly divide those numbers. All right? The number five. 5 and 10 are basically the same number in Scripture. 5 being half of 10, or 10 being double of 5. In fact, I don't know if you remember this. I know a lot of you young people won't remember this. When I was a kid, my mother used to send me to the five and dime. How many remember the 5 and 10? Oh, look, everybody showed your age. Not one single young person raised their hand. You know what they call the 5 and 10 now? The dollar store. It's got to be, right? It's got to be the dollar store. But 5 is the number of fullness or completeness. My hand has 5 fingers. My foot has 5 toes. I have 5 senses, sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch, right? So 10, therefore, is just the extension of the number 5. I have 2 hands. Now I have 10 fingers. Two feet have 10 toes, okay? The moral law was given to God, given to Moses by God in the 10 commandments. Right? Now, this principle enables us to interpret correctly when we get to Revelation 13, when he says, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his head, a blasphemous name. Now, in the Bible, a horn is a symbol of power, and a crown is a symbol of authority. The number 10 represents completeness. So we are simply told here that the Antichrist, the ruler of this 10-nation confederacy that will rise up to rule this world, will have complete power and authority. That's what it's telling us. No one except the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be able to stand before the complete power of this devil's man, Superman, whatever you want to call him, all right? Again, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the church, it talks about the church of Smyrna, is warned that it will have tribulation 10 days. Now, it doesn't mean that it's simply for 10 literal days they're going to have a little difficulty, but it's referring to a complete and a full tribulation. That the thought here is referred to the 10 emperors of the Roman Empire who instigated great persecution against that church, and it lasted for about 200 years. Okay, that's when you have to study this out. God sent 10 plagues on the nation of Egypt. It was a full and complete judgment upon Egypt. Jesus told in a parable in Matthew 25 of how many virgins? 10 virgins. Half were awake, half were asleep. You know what those 10 virgins represent? Those 10 virgins represent the complete description of the church today. You know, there are only two kinds of churches. There are churches that are alive and vibrant and exciting. We call them spirit-filled churches. And there are churches that are just dead and sound asleep. Okay? 5 and 10. Number 6. 6 in the Bible is the number of man. The number of man. Man was created on the 6th day. He was to work 6 days and rest on the 7th. I looked up the interesting to note about Goliath. Goliath was, he represented the best that the world had to offer at that time. You know, Goliath was 6 cubits tall. He had 6 pieces of armor. And he was from a race of giants which had 6 fingers and 6 toes. Interesting, isn't it? The Lord Jesus was crucified on the 6th day of the week because he was dying as a man. For man. Now, this explains to us the most famous verse in the book of Revelation, Revelation 13, 18. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, you need to pay attention to this. I'm going to break this down. We need to see how God's number are beginning to come together here. Here are 3 sixes. 3 is the number of Trinity. 6 is the number of humanity. 3 is the number of God. 6 is the number of man. Here is man pretending to be God. 7 is the number of perfection. 6 is the number of man, which is imperfection. So 3 sixes represent perfect imperfection, which is exactly what man is. Man is perfectly imperfect. You got it? All right, we'll say a lot more about that when we get to Revelation 13, because I know about all the other things that claim in that chapter too. Now, number 7, there is not a more important number in all the Bible, nor in the book of Revelation than the number 7. It's the keynote number. It is the number of perfection. The number of perfection. How do we get that? How do we get that number? 3 plus 4 equals 7. 3 is the divine number. 4 is the world number. 7 is the number where God and the world get together. It is earth crowned with heaven, the union of heaven and earth. So we know that God rested on the 7th day, right? 1 week is made up of 7 days. There's 7 notes in a musical scale, while the 8th note is simply a repetition of the 1st note, just the beginning of a higher octave. In fact, in the Hebrew word for 7 comes from a root meaning to be full or to be satisfied. Jesus spoke 7 words from the cross. Enoch, the first man to be translated alive into heaven, was the 7th man from Adam. The Day of Atonement in Israel was in the 7th month. You think all this is just coincidence? You think God had a reason for all this? He did. Nahum, the leper, had to dip how many times in the Jordan? He had it 7 times. He had to dip in the Jordan River. The opening statement of the Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the Hebrew, it is exactly 7 words. So now we can understand Revelation 1:4, where John refers to the 7 spirits. How many? Are there 7 spirits? No, there's only 1 Holy Spirit. But the number 7 refers to perfection. The Holy Spirit is the perfect Holy Spirit, without spot or without blemish. So when we read here in Revelation 1, verse 20, John's writing to the seven churches. Why seven? Because seven, these seven churches represent all the churches throughout all the ages. These letters we're going to find to the seven churches are just as relevant for the 21st century church as they were 2,000 years ago in that church. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus, the Lamb of God, is described as having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out to all the earth. Now, does Jesus literally have seven horns and seven eyes? Of course not. And there's not seven Holy Spirits. So we have to know what this is talking about. Rather, we are told here that Jesus was complete. He was complete omnipotence, seven horns. He was complete omniscient, seven eyes. And he was complete omnipresent, seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And we explained those three words in previous lessons. So over and over again, we see the historical use of the number seven in Scripture all over. In Joshua chapter 6, we are told that that Joshua marched around the city of Jericho for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. And the walls came tumbling down. In Leviticus, God gave Israel seven feasts that they should observe. In Matthew, Jesus, in Matthew 13, he told seven parables of the kingdom. In the book of Acts, we're told that seven men were ordained to be deacons of the church. And here in Revelation 1:20, we're told of the seven lampstands. What's the seven lampstands? Anybody ever see a picture of the Jewish menorah? Well, that's what this is referring to, the Jewish lampstand. It's a seven-pronged lampstand, which I know most of you have seen. It has three shafts on one side and three shafts on the other side and one shaft in the middle. What is that? 3 + 3 = 6, the number of man. The one in the middle represents God, one. God plus man becomes the light of the world. Isn't that cool? In the old King James Bible, it uses the word candles, which is really a poor translation. A better, more accurate translation is the word lampstands. What's the difference? A candle burns by wax, but a lampstand burns by oil. And oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And we are to shine as lights in the world by the oil of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? The book of the Revelation is the perfect book of prophecy and is divided into seven divisions and seven subdivisions. That's what I gave you. And you may think that this is pure coincidence, but even the number seven itself appears 49 times in the book of Revelation, or seven times seven. Wow. Now, just as we told you there were multiples of 5 and 10, there are multiples also of seven. The Lord Jesus sent out 70 disciples, 7 times 10, 2 by 2. Daniel, in the 9th chapter of his prophecy, gives a panoramic view of history of the world from the time, from his time down to the end of time, and he does this in 70 weeks. We're told that each week is a week of years. So there are 77s of years, or 490 years. And I've preached about this for a long, long time. 77s are determined upon the nation of Israel. On one occasion, Simon Peter, you remember this? He came to Jesus and he says, "Hey, if somebody does something wrong to me, how many times should I forgive them? Seven?" Why did Peter say that? Because Peter knew about the number thing. He knew. He knew that the number seven was of perfection. Well, what did Jesus say? No, rather 70 times seven, which is total, complete forgiveness. Complete and total forgiveness. Seven is the number of perfection. 10 is the number of completeness. So our forgiveness of others should be perfectly complete and completely perfect. Got it? Did you know that Psalms 90, verse 10 tells us that the normal lifespan is 70 years. That's what it says. Wow. I'm getting close. But just as the number seven is significant, when seven is divided, it's also very significant in Scripture. The number seven cut in half spells danger, disaster, distress. We're told that Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. James chapter 5, verse 17, we're going to find out that the Antichrist is going to make a 7-year covenant with the nation of Israel. But in the middle of the 7 years, he's going to break that covenant. And the tribulation that will come after that will be great, the great tribulation when the heat is really turned up. And the latter part of the 3.5-year period will be a tribulation unlike this world has ever seen before. Daniel tells us about in 9:27 of Daniel, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And the word week is literally the word seven. A week of 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. And on the wings of the abomination shall be one who makes desolate even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Daniel chapter 9, incredible teaching of the end times. In the middle of the 7-year period, the Antichrist is going to turn on the Jews. He's going to disallow them from worshiping God. He's going to disallow them from even coming to the temple. He will take the throne that is reserved for the Most High God, and he'll blaspheme that name of God. How is he going to blaspheme it? By sacrificing a pig on the altar. This is fulfilled in Revelation 13. It says, and he was given a great mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. He was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blaspheme against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. So both the number seven and its division is extremely important, very important when you read it in the book of Revelation and throughout the whole Bible. We're almost done. Number eight. Eight is a number of new things, new beginnings. Amen? It's symbolically used of the new birth. We told you this already. The musical scale has seven notes. The eighth note is the same as the first. It's only lifted to a higher octave, but it begins a new scale. In the Old Testament, circumcision was made on the eighth day after the birth, because circumcision was a sign, an Old Testament sign, an Old Testament symbol of salvation. But the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, and by the circumcision of Christ. So circumcision symbolizes new life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When God destroyed the world by a flood, we're told in 2 Peter, he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, being in the flood on the world of the ungodly, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly. Noah represents new beginnings. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we're told of the eight souls that were saved through the water. Our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead when? On the eighth day. That's the day after the Sabbath, which is the seventh day of the week, and the next day is the eighth day. 50 days later, on the same day of the week, came Pentecost, which was a new dispensation of the Holy Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 9, we're told that the transformation of the Lord Jesus was symbolized, which symbolizes his coming in power and is in his kingdom, took place on the eighth day. After Jesus was raised from the dead, we're told in John 20, he appeared to the disciples on the eighth day. Everywhere in Scripture you see it. Sunday is the eighth day, or the first day of the week. It's a day of new beginnings, all right? Number nine, nine is a number of judgment. We're almost done. Nine has similarity to number six. For where 3 + 3 = 6, 3 × 3 = 9. Now, see how good I am in math? When the Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, it was at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he gave up his spirit about the ninth hour. In the Bible, there are nine recorded stonings. 9 cases of leprosy, 9 instances of blindness. There's a 9-fold fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Against there is no law or judgment. And finally, number 12. 12 is the number of God's governmental number. It's a number of the rule of government, of the government of God. And just as 9 is related to 6, 12 is related to 7. 4 plus 3 equals 7, but 4 times 3 equals 12. 12 is the number of this world multiplied by the number of God. So it refers to the rule and the reign of God over this world. There are how many months in a year? 12. It shows God's control over time. There are 12 signs of the zodiac, which shows that God controls space. There are 12 tribes in the nation of Israel. There were 12 apostles of the Lamb. There's 12 gates in the New Jerusalem, which have 12 foundations. And in Matthew 19, we're told that the apostles sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. When Jesus was being threatened with death, he said he could call down 12 legions of angels. The only time that we ever seen between Jesus' birth and his baptism, we see him at the age of 12. And he gave the testimony, I was doing about my Father's business. That is, he was showing he was perfectly ruled by God. And now we read in Revelation 4:4 that around the throne, 24 elders, and on the thrones saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. Now these represent the redeemed of the Lamb. They're sitting on the throne, ruling with God. But why are they 24? Where did the 24 come from? 12 represent the Old Testament saints. 12 represent the New Testament saints. So what does that mean? All of the redeemed and all of the elect one day are going to rule and reign with Christ. Okay? All right. Now, number 3 is the personal significance of numbers, which means I'm going to recap. What does this mean to us? What are we going to do with all these number things? How are we going to say, what do they say to us personally? What do these numbers mean to you personally? Number 1 tells me that there's one God and only one God. Besides him, there's no other. Got it? Number 2 tells me that this God has spoken to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're told in Hebrews chapter 1, God who in various times, in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now, number 2. Number 3 tells me that this God has revealed himself in 3 persons. God the Father, who in turn sent God the Son to die for us, who in turn sent God the Holy Spirit to live in us, that we might be saved. Number 4 tells me that the entire world belongs to him. The kingdoms of this world, I just said that. The kingdom of this world one day will become the kingdoms of our Lord. And one day every creature who has ever lived will know it, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. The number 5 tells me that what God started, God finished. The scripture that I read this morning was, I have a confidence that he who began a good work in you will be able, with faithful, to complete it until the day of Christ. He's faithful. God will complete what he started. God is going to create a new world where his people can live forever, free from the clutches of sin and Satan and self. Amen? The number 6 tells me that without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an imperfect sinner. And you need to be saved so that you might be right with a perfect God. Number 7 tells me that God is not only perfect, but he also is a God of perfect love. Because that perfect love sent a perfect Son to die for you, that you might have a perfect salvation that indeed would take you home to a perfect heaven. You see that? His perfect love? Number 7. Number 8 tells me that you can indeed be born again, a new beginning. You can start over again. You can become a new creature in Christ. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. Start over again. The number 9 tells me that unless you get right with God, you will surely face his judgment. And the number 12 tells me that if you will let him, God will indeed take over your life and take you to heaven when you die. His governmental number. That's God. The numbers in the scriptures all mean something. I know that was a lot of information to throw at you. That's why I wrote it all down so you wouldn't have to write anything. You can go over it again and again. But when you read these numbers, I want something to settle in. I want you to understand that God didn't do this. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just a coincidence that all these numbers have all these different meanings. But they all mean something to us. They should mean something to you every time you read them. Some of the numbers you can take literally. And we said this in the very first lesson. The literal things that we see in Scripture are going to be evident that we can take literally. The other things that are not, that are cloudy or symbolic, they're easy to recognize that we can take them symbolically and break them down and see what those symbols represent, because those symbols represent a truth. And we'll see that as we progress. Why do you think the book of Revelation is the only book that says you will be blessed? You're going to be blessed when you read it. You say, "Whoa, God, all those numbers you got, I'm all confused today." If you have $10 in this pocket and $4 in this pocket, Johnny says, "I must have somebody else's pants on." No, you got your own pants on. Don't be confused, all right? Let's all stand. I'd like the worship team to come back. I want you to take the $10 out of one pocket. No, no.